we got it. So the meeting is being recorded. Just want to remind everybody of the objectives that please that we do have executive session at the end if we were to have any sort of discussion on the executive director, the search, anything with HR, we would need to go to move to executive session. At the top of the, before we get into the agenda today, I'm going to regular action items. We need to take action on some board members' re-election. We have several members whose terms have recently expired and a few board leadership roles that do not align with the terms of service as board members. The following board members, Vince, Tequila, and Kristen, will not be able to vote today unless we re-elect them, and they must abstain from the votes for their particular re-election. Additionally, my term as a member of the board doesn't align with my term as the board chair. So Carissa, who's set up consultant, board advisor, has suggested that the board considers extending my term as a member of the board by 10 months so that it coincides with my term as board chair. So that will be up for a vote as well. So we are going to move forward with re-election of the following board members. I don't believe Tequila is on, so she doesn't have to recuse herself. But Vince, we will go ahead and start with you. Your term expired on 7/20/2021, so we are re-electing Vince Billingsley. So Vince, you would have to recuse yourself and you wouldn't be able to vote. Tequila Brownie. Again, her term is expired and she's up for re-election, as well as Christian Wright. And then with respect to me, the extension of the original board terms from 1/22/21 to coincide with the board chair term of 11/28/22. Is there any discussion on those re-elections as well as the extension of my term?
Madam Chair, okay, this is George. I don't have a question, but can a motion be made on those as a group, or do we have to do them individually?
No, we could do it as a group.
Okay. Well, Madam Chair, I would like to make a motion that we re-elect board members.
Let me say this. Mm-hmm. Let me say this. Yes, that's correct, George. Continue. So Kristen and Vince and Tequila wouldn't be able to vote on this, right? But the other board members, we would be able to vote, and then we would do my extension separately so that the other board members would be able to vote. So I apologize for that, George. Continue with your motion.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. I was just counting to see if we had a quorum, if we did that. Do we have enough?
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
One, we don't. One, two, three.
Yeah, chalk is not on. So we would have to do it one at a time.
I thought chalk was one of them that had to be voted on also.
Chalk has to be voted on, we don't have enough people.
We'll need to take no votes, so the other two don't have to refuse.
Right, we will have to do it individually, right, Kristen?
Yep. Okay. Right. Yep.
Yeah.
Then I will recuse myself from voting on myself.
Okay. Right. So let's start with Vince. George, if you could do it individually, please.
Yes, Madam Chair, I make a motion that Vince Billingsley be reelected as a member of the Board of Directors to KIPP.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Robin, second. Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. Moving on to Quilla.
And Madam President, I make a motion that Tequila Brownlee be reelected member of the Board of Directors of KIPP.
Second.
So I have a second. Thanks, Vin. Any discussion? All in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any opposed? None. Motion carries. We move on to Kristen, please.
And I recuse.
Thank you. Do I have a motion?
I make a motion to reelect Kristen Wright to the Board of Directors, KIPP Delta.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, George. Any discussion? All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. For my extension, I will abstain from voting and recuse myself. So I would, somebody would need to make that motion.
A motion that we extend the term for Lisa John Adams to coincide with her term as the board chair.
Second.
I'll second.
Chalk Mitchell.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. And now we come to the nomination and election of board executive committee members. So we have before us finance chair and disbursement officer, Vince Billingsley. We would need to determine for Vince as well as Chalk Mitchell as vice chair, both ended. We must elect board members for these positions. I make a motion that Vince Billingsley be elected as finance chair for another 3 years. Any discussion?
Second that motion.
So I have a second. Second, thank you, George. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing. Carry. I also make a motion that Chalk Mitchell's board leadership position as vice chair be extended another 3 years to coincide with the end of his elected board term of 7/30/2023. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Kristen.
Okay, thank you, Kristen. Any discussion? All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. So that's the board elections. Thank you, everybody, for continuing to serve on the board. As you know, this is legacy work we're doing here, and it's really important work, so we need to carry on. We have before us the consent agenda, so all these items will be voted on together. So we have the consent agenda for the approval of the board minutes from the May 6th, June 10th, and June 17th of 2021. And then the approval of the school improvement plans, the district support plans, and the parents' family engagement plans. All those were in the board packet, as well as the approval of the CEP addendum. Is there any discussion needed before we take a vote?
I saw one correction in our minutes from May 6th. Under the agenda, section 3, under the action agenda, paragraph E, it shows that I made a motion and I also seconded the motion. So I just wanted to make sure that we clarify this before it's filed away.
Okay. We will go back to the video recording and see who made that second. and we would make the amendments. So with that amendment, do I have a motion to accept the consent agenda with that amendment?
So move.
Do I have a second?
Second. Chalk Mitchell.
Thank you, Chalk. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? The consent agenda as presented with the amendments to the May 5th board meeting minutes is passed. We move on to action agendas. We have three conflict of interest agendas, and those were in the board packets. And again, thanks for completing your annual conflict of interest and the other forms. If you hadn't, I really need those done by today. So if you could complete it and email it to me, and I'll get it to Megan. So we have three potential conflicts of interest for Robin Hartwood, Tequila Brownie, and Vince Billingsley. I'm presenting the resolutions to approve these conflicts of interest for consideration of the board today. So the first one is Vince, with respect to Mistress Billingsley providing services, Billingsley Therapy Services, for fees not to exceed $80,000 during the 2021-2022 school year. Mistress Billingsley is the wife of Mr. Billingsley, who is a board member. Mr. Billingsley has declared as an interested party in the proposed resolution. Obviously, he will recuse himself from this vote. I will entertain a motion to accept the conflict of interest that has been provided.
So moved, Kristen.
Thank you, Kristen. Do I have a second?
A second.
You all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you, motion carries. We have the second conflict of interest, which is Robin Hartwood and for doing business for large and event spaces and catering for fees not to exceed $25,000 during the school year 2021 and 2022. Ms. Hartwood Hotel provides these services. She's also a board member, and she has declared having an interest in the proposed resolution. Of course, she will recuse herself from this vote. And I will ask for a motion to approve her conflict of interest.
So moved.
Thank you.
George,
do I have a second?
Thank
you. Second. Yep. Any discussion? All in favor, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. And we have another conflict of interest for Dr. Tequila Brownie. She's an executive vice president of TNTP and has a direct financial interest in TNTP due to her employment compensation. TNTP is providing support for the school leaders on literacy practices and training of district school leaders in instructional practices aligned to the science of reading. The fees would not exceed $250,000 during the school year 2021-2022. I would ask for a motion to approve the Dr. Tequila Brownie's conflict of interest.
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, motion carries. And then before us, we have a resolution for the actual TNTP contract. the board approved this contract last year, but due to
Maybe I'm trying to do too many things. Did we actually just vote on that last one, or did we just?
No, that was on Tequila. Tequila having a conflict of interest with TMTP.
Did we vote on that, or did we just do the motion or the? We didn't have to vote on that one.
Yes, on Tequila's. Yes. Did we not do that?
I thought we just did the motion and the second. I thought.
I apologize. So the motion is still on the floor. A second was passed. Do I have all in favor? Please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Do I have any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Thank you, George, for correcting me and getting us back on track. So we have our contract re-engagement resolution for TMTP, who I mentioned before, provides support and instructional practices with the science of reading to our school leaders. This contract, we signed this contract last year, but we had several circumstances and it was never executed. So I'm asking the board to consider giving the interim ED the authority to re-engage and execute upon the contract for the school year 2021-2022. Do you have any questions or any discussions before we move to the vote?
Is there any elaboration on why it wasn't engaged last year? Or I guess I'm confused by the engagement or re-engagement of a contract we voted, approved, and signed off on.
Yeah, I think the previous interim ED was trying to go in a different direction to get support from another entity. So never fully executed on this contract.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you. Sorry.
Okay. No, fair question. Anything else? Just so that you know, we have engaged the school leaders to participate in exactly what they needed from TNTP. Our interim ED got good feedback from them, and based on that feedback, was able to revisit the contract and fine-tune some things to make sure that the service that they provide is exactly the service that the school leaders need and expect. So we feel pretty confident that we would be able to get a lot better service from them this year, and given the school leaders that support that they need. I will entertain a motion to pass the resolution as presented. Anybody?
I'm sorry. Motion approved. I mean, I like to make a motion. So moved. I'm sorry.
A second.
Thank you, George. Thank you, Robin. Any other questions? Please indicate by saying aye if you approve this resolution.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. So now we have the Forest City modular. I don't know if you all remember those. Vince, I know you remember them all too well. And last year, the board passed, Megan, could you share with us some context on what's going on with the modulars and what exactly we're asking the board to approve?
Sure. So in May 2019, the board passed a resolution agreeing to the sale of the modulars. After that agreement was passed, we posted a RFP. There were no interested parties at the time who were interested in purchasing the two modulars. Since that time, there are parties that have come forth that have shown interest in purchasing the modulars, and we'd like to engage with the interested parties in this regarding the sale of the modulars. And the terms of the sale are aligned with the terms that you all approved back in May 2019. Some of those terms include the buyer purchasing the building as is, the buyer responsible for the costs and moving the modulars, as well as providing proof of insurance prior to the move, just in case there is anything that happens to the church property, if and when those modulars are moved from the property.
Could you all hold 1 second? I have to take this call. I'm sorry.
These modulars have been vandalized this summer. A lot of the windows started getting broken out when school let out, and it continued for about a month on and off. I think most of the windows are boarded up at this point. So,
do we have anybody that might be interested in just renting? I mean, rent to own?
You know? Well, the rent part, actually, you know, I've tried to wrap my head around how that would work with the church and the school, and then we can have that separation of church and state, and I just don't see any way that could be worked out. I don't know, but it just seemed very complicated, or more complicated than worth.
Okay, let me ask this question. Since we do have the campus in Blytheville and we have the campus in Helena, and I know it's expensive to move these things, I do, but rather than just letting them sit there and deteriorate, is, Chalk, you're more familiar with them. You and Vince are. Is there a reason, a good reason we would need to move them? I mean, because yes, they're just sitting there vacant, and we know what happens to that. And just like you said, they've been vandalized. So is there a possibility that we can move them to the other campus?
I thought we had somebody interested in purchasing them, right, Megan? Hello?
There are parties that have come forward that are interested in purchasing them.
Oh, okay.
We just haven't engaged in conversations because we wanted to make sure that we revisited this with the board prior to re-engaging in those conversations.
Okay, I apologize. I just didn't think we had anybody interested. Good to know.
I've fielded quite a few calls about those modular buildings over the past couple of years, actually. So, yeah, there is some interest.
Okay. So I think before us is the we would need a motion to approve our ED, our interim ED, to what exactly is the motion, Megan, to move forward with RFPs?
No, we've already gone through the RFP process. So the motion would be to move forward with the resolution that was passed in May of 2019.
Okay. So do I have a motion for that?
So move.
Second.
I hesitate to second because I don't remember the exact terms of that resolution from 2019.
It's included, it's in the board packet, or if you look on the calendar invite, Miss Bell reattached the updated board invite.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yep, and so that resolution that was passed is in the board packet.
Okay, I missed that, I'm sorry.
No, I can find the page number.
If I can pull it up.
Now I'm busted. I didn't read the whole thing.
No. So we actually had to resend the board packet. We attached a new version of it to the calendar invite that includes the modular. So you didn't miss it. You just busted yourself by sharing that you didn't read it all, but it wasn't in there. It wasn't in there originally, but we added it within 20 to 30 minutes of starting the meeting. Okay. I'd be happy to pull it and email it to the group now if that would be helpful.
No, that's okay. I will go ahead and second the motion.
Yeah, I was going to say it's on the attachment with the Zoom.
Okay.
Okay, we have a second. Any discussion? All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. We move on to our mask mandate resolution. Last year, the board passed a mask mandate resolution for the 2020-2021 school year. While the resolution didn't have a date on it, we want to reconfirm this resolution for this current school year coming up for our files. Do we have any discussion? If not, do I hear a motion to confirm the mask mandate resolution for 2021-2022 school year?
Would this...
Wait, is this for all grades K through 12?
The policy is for all grades, K through 12, includes students, staff, and visitors who are on our campuses. And it is a policy, as Lisa mentioned, that is currently in our policy manual and does not have an end date. But we again wanted to revisit it with all of you.
Would it be wise for us to maybe word it where we could revisit this mask mandate as conditions change? I guess, Kristen, this is where I would look for some sort of guidance on the best way to word this, where we could work in progress, so to speak.
Yeah, shouldn't the board give the leadership the discretion to modify that as the situation changes?
Well, now we are considering any medical whatevers that says from a medical,
waivers.
Yes. That I think that should be in there too. I mean,
So if there are any, for example, staff members that have that need to request accommodations, our human resources department does have a formal accommodation request process that we would move those staff members through.
The standard medical accommodation for a doctor's note with regard to mask is to accommodate by allowing the individual to wear a face shield. And we're not aware, in the legal community yet of any medical reason that an individual could not wear a face shield as an accommodation. Now, so I'm not giving legal advice to the board, but that is the standard approach that's being taken right now.
So what you're saying, Kristen, is they can either wear the shield or a mask?
No, if an individual has a doctor's note with a reason that they cannot wear a mask, the standard accommodation is to allow them to wear a shield. And we're not seeing any medical reason that a person could not wear a face shield. Mm-hmm. Judge, you may have some insight on that, but I know that's the guidance that we're seeing.
Vince, to your question, will you when smaller thing to give, I guess, the board or the staff or the senior staff or Megan to be able to make accommodations? What did you have in mind? Was it medical accommodations or?
No, I just, I know that it, as things evolve and this virus mutates and we see changes and how it's affecting individuals, I think that we should give the staff the authority to make those adjustments that they see would fit the safety of all the kids and the staff that we employ, right? I think they're in a better position to make those calls than we are, and just giving them the leverage to do so, I guess, is kind of where I'm leading with that. I'm all for the mask mandate. I think the kids should be wearing them because my kids are wearing them and I'm making them wear them. But I think that the team needs the ability to adjust throughout the school year as conditions change, whether they be better, worse, whatever that looks like.
So currently, Megan, the resolution from last year was that everybody wears a mask.
Yeah, so it was a policy that you all approved that students, staff, and visitors would be required to wear masks on our campuses, and it clearly states over the nose and mouth what type of covering. And I think what I will add is that we're following the guidance of CDC, of the CDC and Arkansas Department of Health. So if there is ever a point in time when we are told we can no longer require our students or staff to wear masks, that we will make sure that we follow the law, right, that is handed down at that point in time.
Do we want to add that to the policy, or is that already in the policy?
Well, we would have to. We would have to create a new policy and amend the policy, and I don't think that we're at a place to do that right now. I believe that the policy should be in the board packet. If you all want to review it and make sure that it has the language that you're speaking of.
I think maybe where I'm coming from has been seeing what other districts have done, saying that they'll reevaluate in after the first 9 weeks or reevaluate at semester. You know, I think that not having a time frame is okay, but I think that wording it where we will acknowledge and reevaluate the situation over a specified time frame may be something we need to consider.
So are we saying that we're not in a position right now, we want to go back and relook at that policy, the way it's stated?
I guess from my standpoint, I guess I need some guidance from, and maybe this is unfair, from administration, even though the administration wasn't in place last year. But I mean, moving forward, I know what we're doing here, and I know what other educational institutions are doing at the collegiate level, but what does administration think as it relates to the recommendation?
Well, I can just share a little bit about what we're doing, and then Kristen, it may be helpful if you jump in, but and share a little bit more because of this specific policy. So as I shared, the specific policy does not have language that states that at any time Kip Delta, right, has the ability to require face masks or make adjustments or not requiring face masks of students, staff, and visitors. However, we've done this throughout the course of the last year and a half as we have listened to the guidance of CDC, of the ADH, guidance that's coming down from the state in terms of how to prevent the spread of COVID-19, different ways, different strategies to mitigate that spread. And we have been following those, that guidance. And earlier in the year when the state pushed down, you know, sharing with us that we weren't able to require masks of students and staff, we did move forward with following that guidance that the state shared with us. Since then, as you all know, that there was a recent injunction that allowed us or gave us the autonomy to make a decision as a district of whether or not we would like to require masks. And again, following the guidance of the CDC and ADH, we decided to move forward, at least for now, at the start of the school year, given the increase in the number of cases that we're seeing in our communities, to require masks of our students, staff, and visitors. So we are making adjustments as things change, you know, both ways.
Okay.
So where do we want to move forward? I think the resolution is in place, and it seems like the administration is looking at the guidance of the CDC and as well as the impact on of COVID in the particular communities and making adjustments as needed and taking precautions and safety more on the side of, you know, doing, you know, more than enough than doing less. So I feel comfortable that we can move forward with the resolution, knowing that we could always revisit the policy if things change. And know that the administration is always seeking, you know, the safety of our students and staff.
Okay.
And I apologize for making this a drawn out conversation about masks, people. I promise it's not my forte. And that sounds good. I was just trying to see if our wording and policy was matching what I'm seeing and reading other districts doing. And that's been something that I've seen more with other districts is we'll reevaluate after a certain period of time. And I guess that's just so that conversation continues. I don't want to continue the conversation, but I don't want us to forget either, right? I'm good with the resolution. I've read over it. So if it requires a motion at this point, I will gladly make a motion to approve our mandatory face mask and face covering policy.
I will have a second. Yeah, I'll second it.
Thank you. Okay, all in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. No. Hey, that's good discussion, and don't ever feel that we're going down a rabbit, you know, because sometimes we don't think about everything, and sometimes we just need to know what the administration, you know, view is on this. And I feel confident, Megan, that you represented that pretty well and pretty in line with what we've seen to make sure that our students and staff remain safe. So thank you for that. Just moving along, so we are at the point where we are looking at the FY21 preliminary budget presentation and approval. Megan, do you wanna, is that you or Vince?
That is me, but we do also have the ESSER bonus vaccine, the additional pay for the vaccination. Yes,
I apologize, I missed that one. So Megan, why don't you tell us a little bit about that ESSER bonus pay plan?
So as you all may know, on May 20th, 2021, Governor Hutchinson announced the availability of a $200 payment for state employees that opt in to provide documentation of at least one COVID-19 vaccination. At the time of the announcement, there were a large number of districts that were reaching out to the Arkansas Department of Education asking, does this $200 payment, does it apply to the staff members in our schools or in our districts? The Arkansas Department of Education said, yes, we will leave it up to the discretion of the districts on whether or not they would like to pay their employees the one-time $200 payment if they received at least one vaccination. So we would like to provide our staff members with the same opportunity that other state employees have received. The funds for the incentive would come from our ESSER funds, which are federal and state dollars that we're receiving to help mitigate the spread of COVID as well as address learning loss that we've experienced over the last year and a half due to school closures and virtual learning. So our hope is that we'll be able to provide that $200 incentive again to employees who either received at least one vaaccination by September 1st, 2021, and are able to provide proof of vaccination to HR to our HR department by September 15th of 2021.
Any questions to Megan about the vaccination bonus?
Is there a deadline on that for the acceptance of the vaccine?
Yeah, so at this time, and this is again guidance that we've received from the state, we will be asking employees that they'll need to receive at least one vaccination by September 1st. So they'll still have 2 weeks if this is passed by the board. And then they have until September 15th to provide that documentation to HR.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, could you talk to us about the retention bonus plan, please?
That is not, I think that's been removed from the agenda, Lisa.
Oh, okay, I still have it on my, okay. All right, so do we have any other questions or comments on that? I'll entertain a motion to approve the proposed ESSER bonus pay plan for the vaccination bonus as presented.
Make a motion to approve the vaccine, the bonus plan for the vaccinated time frame.
Okay.
I'll second that one.
All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, now we get down to the budget. Megan, do I is that you or Vince who's gonna just give us the top?
It is me, and I'm gonna just quickly share my screen with you all because I do wanna share some assumptions we have before we kind of dig into the budget together. Are you able to see a PowerPoint?
Yes.
Yes.
Awesome, great. So before we dig into the budget, and the budget was included in your packets, it's also, I have a slide, but it is a little bit hard to see, so I apologize for that. But again, wanted to share some budget, preliminary budget assumptions. The first is around revenue. So the preliminary budget that you all have in front of you does not include our ESSER 1, ESSER 2, and ESSER 3 funds. So those are, again, funds that we are receiving from the state that will allow us to mitigate the spread of COVID. We'll also be able to use the funds to address additional learning losses. We haven't included those funds in the budget because we are still working to finalize the plans for both ESSER 1, 2, and 3 and receive state approval. As soon as we receive those approvals, then we will include that information in the next budget that we provide for you all to review and approve. Additionally, the carryover that we have from FY21 is not included because those are numbers that the state is still finalizing. And so carryover includes funding from, you know, like Title I, any other state and federal funds that we may receive. We're still waiting to receive those final carryover numbers. The same is true for our federal grant awards. What you see listed is projected. We are still waiting for the state to release those new allocations. Typically, those allocations are released in early September, so we should be receiving those soon. The same is with child nutrition. So what you'll see for child nutrition for the reimbursement rate is an estimate. It is based on what we received the last school year. And again, this has not been finalized by the state. And then finally, in regards to revenue, we did want to name that we decreased our fundraising goal from $1.5 million to $997,000. That doesn't mean that we won't go over or exceed that $997,000, but we wanted to be conservative, given that we currently do not have a director of development in place to assist with fundraising. So that is the rationale for that decrease that you'll see there. As far as assumptions related to expenses, so the FY22 expenses that you see in the preliminary budget do include vacancy savings. So that means we do have a handful of positions throughout our region that are currently vacant. So what we have done is we've provided an estimate of when we think that we'll fill those positions. And then that's allowed us to calculate those vacancy savings. The staffing expenses also include the new salary scale for teachers that you all approved last year, in addition to known stipends and any signing bonuses that have been awarded to any of our new hires. In addition, our non-personnel expenses are projections based on prior spending habits. So these non-personnel expenses can include anything from classroom materials to curriculum to technology. Again, these are projections based on prior year spending habits. And also wanted to name that these expenses could change based on ESSER funds. So for example, ESSER funds would allow us to use the funds to purchase new technology for our students. So if there is a line item in the budget that is related to, you know, purchasing new laptops from students, those purchases would be covered by ESSER funds. And then finally, I wanted to also name that at this time with the preliminary budget, we do not have a rainy day set aside. All right, so I know this is very small. So I did just wanna name a few things. I think first and foremost, something to celebrate is that as you all know, we did have our PPP loan. We recently requested forgiveness of that loan and received confirmation this week that the PPP loan was forgiven, which is really great news for our organization and also for our budget. I also wanted to share that we do expect a 4% decrease in revenue due to declining enrollment. So the revenue that we receive or the funds that we receive from the state this school year are based on our enrollment from last school year. And again, due to that decline in the enrollment, that will have an impact on our budget. And we believe that it will result in a 4% decrease in revenue.
That 1156, how current is that number? Is that our current number?
So we are actually slightly higher than that. I think right now we're at 11, it might be 1183 when I looked yesterday, but we're factoring in attrition because we know that just because we have a certain number of kids enrolled doesn't mean that they will actually be students in seats. So that 1156 is conservative in the fact that I think it takes into account a 4% retention rate. Or attrition,
and,
I'm sorry.
What is the cutoff date by which they log the number? Is it October?
It's October. So we're continuing to push for enrollment. We have seen increases week over week. So from last week to this week, we have enrolled an additional 36 students across both communities and are again continuing to push to enroll over the next few weeks and next few months as we head into October.
Okay, thank you.
The other thing that I did want to name that may have stood out to you all is the increase in the totals of salaries and benefits from FY21 to FY22. And part of that increase is that we have added additional staff to provide support to our students as a result of COVID. So one of those examples is we have added what we call student success and support coordinators. We have one position at every campus. They are licensed counselors or social workers. Those are positions that we intend to use ESSER funds to pay for. And the purpose of those positions is to provide additional socio-emotional support to our students that we know that they needed prior to the pandemic, but we know that they are also in dire need of currently as we all continue to navigate this challenging time. Two other things that I just want to make sure I point out, and then I will make sure that I leave time for you all to ask questions. You may also notice that there's been a 50% decrease in spending on textbooks, curriculum, and classroom supplies from last year to this year. And that is due to the fact that this summer we uncovered that we may have over-ordered curriculum and textbooks and other classroom materials last school year. And our operations team did a great job over the summer in partnership with others that are on our academic team to take inventory of what we do have and determine what we need to have for this school year so that we can ensure that we are good stewards of our budget. So that accounts for that decrease. And then the final thing that I wanted to name is for the child nutrition salaries that, as you may see, will have decreased by $262,000 in the preliminary budget. And this is because we partnered with a third party vendor called K-12, who is now providing our child nutrition services. So all of our staff members that were on our food services team, with the exception of one, are now employed by K-12, and so they are no longer on our payroll. We have retained one staff member, our child nutrition director. She oversees our partnership with K-12 and is also responsible for child nutrition reporting and compliance. And then towards the bottom of the page, did want to name that at the end of FY 2022, we do project that we will have approximately 33 days of cash on hand. And that in order to reach our goal of 40 days of cash on hand, we will need to cut $363,000 from our budget. And we believe this could be possible with the use of our ESSER funds.
Okay, any questions for Megan? Hearing none, do I have a motion to approve the preliminary 2021-2022 budget as presented?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second, Chalk Mitchell.
Thank you, Chalk. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Please indicate by saying nay. Motion carries. So right now, we are at the end of our agenda for our open public meeting, and we will move into executive session. So Megan, if you could